This is the Thrill of the Fight 50 Years of Rocky Episode 6. And yep, we got to do it. It's time to talk about Rocky 5, the utter train wreck that Rocky 5 was. How something so great can lead to something so terrible will be one of life's great mysteries forever and ever. But before we get into Rocky 5, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's supported this passion project of mine and been on this journey here as we dive through the Rocky franchise here as we celebrate 50 years of the original movie, which will the official anniversary will be in November, which I was hoping that we were going to get some theatrical re-releases of the original film in theaters, like they had been doing for some other anniversaries, like the original Ninja Turtles was last year. They're doing TMNT 2 this year. Rocky 4 was 40th anniversary last year. But from what I gather is that they're going to be releasing the I Play Rocky biopic the weekend of the 50th anniversary instead of re-releasing the movie, which is still pretty cool. I'm hopefully optimistic about it. Okay, Stallone's not directly involved in the project. He's wished them well, so we'll see how it goes. You know, this the kid Anthony Ippolito, if I'm saying his name correctly, is the same kid that played a young Al Pacino in the making of The Godfather. It was called what, The Offer on Paramount Plus, which I loved. It was really good limited series. If you haven't caught it yet and you're a fan of The Godfather, definitely check that out. So he's playing Sylvester Stallone. It's about the making of Rocky and how Stallone got the movie made. So they're releasing that in conjunction with the 50th anniversary. So I am hopefully optimistic is a term that I'm using. And yes, I will be there opening weekend. But as I said, as everybody's here supporting it, thank you guys so much. Please hit subscribe on this very podcast platform that you're listening to the show on right now, so you don't miss any new episodes of The Thrill of the Fight 50 Years of Rocky. This is episode 6. So we're on the back half here. We got 3 more movies to talk about, plus the finale episode where we're going to do a couple of different fun things. And also, please make sure you are following me on X at Christian_NYYST and on TikTok as well at Christian.NYYST. Rocky 5 is a train wreck. There's literally no other way to explain or describe this movie. Rocky 5 is an absolute train wreck. How we got from Rocky 1, one of the best movies of all time, to Rocky 2, a very satisfying and emotionally satisfying sequel to Rocky 3, which I didn't like as much, but was still really good, to the awesomeness of Rocky 4, to this utter dumpster fire, I don't know. Okay? I am glad that this movie was an absolute dumpster fire. I will say that because without it, Sylvester Stallone would have never had the desire to make Rocky Balboa, which is my Rocky movie, my favorite movie of all time. We will get more into that next week. But this movie sucks, okay? As a diehard Rocky fan, as somebody that loves Rocky as much as I do, it breaks my heart to have to come out here and say that a Rocky movie sucks, but this movie is friggin' awful. Okay, I wish it was better, but it's just not good at all. There are so many problems with Rocky 5, and maybe the biggest one of them all is that they tried to go back to where it all started. Now, Sylvester Stallone did not direct the original Rocky. John Avildsen did. So they went back to John Avildsen for Rocky V. It didn't work. You know, they went away from Bill Conti in Rocky IV for the music. They went back to Bill Conti here in Rocky V for the music. It didn't work. Rocky V is such a mess of a movie, okay? I really don't understand how we got here. I'm sorry that I'm like repeating that, but I just watched it. I literally just finished watching it and hit record on this. And I don't know how we got to this point that this movie was this bad. I will say this about Rocky V. If you look at Rocky V and how it is presented, It is much closer to being an actual Rocky movie than Rocky IV was. Rocky IV is an 80s action movie. Rocky IV, Rocky Balboa is a superhero. In Rocky V, it's much more grounded. It's back in Philadelphia. You have the grit of the first two films back in this movie, but there's just not the emotion. There's just not the heart that was in those two movies that are in this movie, in Rocky Five. You know right away in Rocky Five that this movie is going to be an absolute train wreck, okay? Because you look at all of the things that made Rocky Five terrible, and it starts with the acting. I hate to say this. This is Sylvester Stallone's worst performance as Rocky Balboa. And it's by a long mile, too. It's almost at times as if Sylvester Stallone is playing a bad impersonator of Rocky Balboa than he actually is playing Rocky Balboa. Then you look at some of the secondary characters in this movie. Burt Young is fine. Talia Shire is fine. I get that he wanted to put Sage Stallone in this movie and do a movie with his son. Even he is fine. But you have Richard Gant playing a dollar store version of Don King. He was absolutely atrocious in this movie. Ruined the movie from the second he appeared on screen. Then you have the charisma vacuum of Tommy Morrison playing Tommy the Machine Gun, the main antagonist, or one of the main antagonists, because I guess you could say Duke is the main antagonist in the movie. The charisma vacuum that Tommy Morrison was in this movie sucks so much life out of the movie when he's on screen. And one of the biggest sins, if not the biggest sin that this movie commits, is they put the iconic Apollo Creed USA trunks on this hack jabroni Tommy the Machine Gun. The trunks that Apollo Creed wore in the first movie, the trunks that he passed down to Rocky in his rematch, in Rocky's rematch with Clubber Lang, in that the trunks that Rocky Balboa ended the Cold War in his fight with Ivan Drago, this jabroni hack Tommy Gunn is wearing them in this movie. This movie suffers so much from poor acting and poor writing. It breaks my heart that this movie was as bad as it was. But what I will say about this movie is that the tone of it is much, much closer to the tone of the original two films than Rocky IV was. Rocky IV is an adrenaline-filled 80s action movie where Rocky Balboa was a superhero. In this movie, it's much more grounded. We are back on the streets of Philadelphia, and Rocky is much more of an everyman, regular guy that he was in the first two films. So that's why when I say that if you look at the first six films, the original six Rocky movies, and you tell me pick which one doesn't belong, I pick Rocky IV every single time because of the tone of that movie is so much different than the tone of all these other movies. And yes, that includes this friggin' dumpster fire of Rocky V. When Rocky V begins, we don't get the traditional just playback at the end of the previous movie that we see in the first four films. What we do get, though, is just like snippets, little bits and pieces, highlights of the fight with Ivan Drago. And that's not even done correctly because so much of what they present to you is presented out of sequence. Towards the end of the highlight package is the whole hit the one in the middle thing. And when Rocky and tackles Drago to the ground, that happens all in the beginning of the fight, not towards the end of it, which if you didn't see Rocky IV, you'd be led to believe that that happens at the end of Rocky, at the end of the fight with Drago, because that's how it's presented here. So even that they got wrong. I love Sylvester Stallone, you guys know that. I love the work that he did on this series, but I don't want to say he mailed this one in, but Jesus, oh my God, this was so bad. I get it. It's like, where do you go? You went from, I don't want to be a bum in the neighborhood, the love story, you got to prove something to yourself, to then you did the sequel where it was, he had to win the title and it was emotionally satisfying, to now what's the next step? he's Rocky goes Hollywood, and he's got to face a little adversity. He's got to get the Eye of the Tiger back, and then you want to do a fourth film. So now you got to change things up completely, and you got to go superhero mode. And then where do you go from there? So I get it. There was probably challenges being made. The studio wanted a fifth one. Hey, this was not it. This just was not it. Are there things to like about this movie? Yes, there are, because it's still a Rocky movie, and we'll talk about it as we go along here. Because as the movie truly begins here, you see Duke in the dressing room. I don't want you to get confused. Tony Burton's Duke, the trainer Duke, because George Washington Duke, why they named him, why they gave him the name Duke again. Why? Why did we do this? Why couldn't we call him George Washington Asshole? Because that's what this character was. Instead of calling him Duke, confusing everybody with Duke the trainer. But Duke's in there, and he's very proud of Rocky, and he said, you made everybody proud. You made Apollo proud. Well, Rocky's in the shower, and things aren't going so good for Rocky in the shower. He tells Duke to go get Adrian, and he's out of the shower now, and he's just sitting there shaking. He told Adrian that he feels like he broke something, and this is kind of the first sign that things might be a little bit wrong, because he says to Adrian, I just want to go home, Mick, not Adrian. So he's a little confused here. So again, one of the things that's wrong with this movie is that the flight from Russia, apparently back to the United States, is so long that it ages your kids 6 years. Because in Rocky IV, we were led to believe that kid's, what, 6, 7 years old? So if you follow the timeline, the kid was born in 1979-ish, which was the date of Rocky II. And in 1985, he'd be about 6 years old, right? In Rocky V, Sage Stallone is a lot older than Rocky Krakoff was. A little fun fact, Rocky's son in Rocky IV, his name is Rocky. That Sage Stallone, you're led to believe he's, what, about 12, 13 years old? So, yes, if you follow the natural progression of things, that Rocky IV was in 1985 and Rocky V was in 1990. So, yes, that 5 years. So, okay, you want to go, it would really be 11-ish. So, but you want to say this 12, 13, we could buy that. But it's not supposed to be a five-year time jump. He wasn't in Russia for 5 years. He's supposed to be coming home immediately after the fight. But somehow the kid aged 5 or 6 years. I get it. He wanted to put his son in the movie. And we just said, hey, yeah, we're going to retcon this here. The kid's a lot older than he really is. Okay, fine. You're Sylvester Stallone. You can do whatever you want. You want to put your kid in the movie. You want to make us believe now that your kid's 5, 6 years older than he was previous. Okay, we're there now. So we're at a press conference as Rocky returns home, and this is immediately when you know that you are in trouble as the viewer of this movie, that we're not in for a regular old romp here with Rocky, that we're in for a mega dumpster fire. Because here comes George Washington Duke, here comes Union Kane, and these two are absolutely atrocious. Richard Gant could have been great in everything that he was ever in his life. He sucks in this movie. Again, I talked about at the beginning that it felt like Stallone wasn't acting as Rocky Balboa. He was acting as a bad Rocky Balboa impersonator at times in this movie. Well, Richard Gant wasn't playing a boxing promoter. He was playing a dollar store version of Don King, which, again, just it was an utter atrocity, and it made me want to rip my eyeballs out every time he came onto the screen. And Union Kane, the guy that played him, was a bad actor. It was terrible. And you could tell right from the jump that this is not going to be one of Stallone's best turns as Rocky, because he's playing up the whole brain damage. It looks like he's just playing up the whole brain damage thing. And instead of playing it up like at a level, it's like he's on 15 here. And Adrian tells, you know, Duke's there to get Rocky to agree to this fight with Kane for the title. What title? You gave up the title. Where's the title? We're led to believe Rocky's still the champ after he gave up the friggin' title to fight Drago. Do we forget that too? But Adrian says Rocky's retired. They So there's no fight. Rocky has to think about it, and then we get this obnoxious friggin' reporter there, which just adds to how terrible this scene is. And then we get home. The kid immediately notices something that is wrong with Rocky, and we see a nice scene with Rocky and the kid in the kid's bedroom. This is the first movie that really explores and goes into a little bit of a detail and in depth of Rocky and his son's relationship. So again, you want to talk about things that were good about this movie, things you like about this movie, is he's a baby in Rocky 2. He's barely there in Rocky 3. You see a little bit of it in Rocky 4 right before Rocky leaves for Russia. But here, this movie, one of the central pieces of this movie, which then is even further expanded upon, and which is a big central piece of Rocky Balboa, is the relationship with the son. So you want to talk about things that were good in this movie, it's how they explored Rocky and Robert's relationship in this movie. So after we see that, now we know Rocky's in trouble, not just with the brain damage, but now we find out that he's broke, that while Rocky was in Russia, the accountant gave Paulie some papers to sign that was supposed to be an extension for to file his taxes, but really gave the accountant power of attorney, which he used to get all of Rocky's money to do some shady real estate dealings, which he lost out on, and which meant Rocky lost all his money on. So now Rocky's with his lawyer, and he realizes that there's really nothing that he can do with his money to get his money back, except for to go fight again. But Adrian doesn't want him to fight. She wants him to retire because of the whole brain damage thing. But she's like, hey, you know what? If you go to a doctor and they give you a clean bill of health, I'll be on board with this. So he goes to the doctor, and wouldn't you know it, the doctor says, you're brain damaged. You can't get licensed. You can't fight. Rocky's poor. So we realize that the Balboas are going to have to move out of that mansion. They got no money. Rocky, you know, dresses up like he did in the original movie with the leather jacket, the fedora, the whole nine, and he's ready to hit the streets and be a street guy again, because, you know, he just can't stay in the mansion. He's a little down. And where does he wind up after he leaves Andy's bar? A rundown mixed gym. And this, by far, and there's nothing really, maybe later on in the film, there's a little bit, something that might be in the ballpark, but it's like sitting in the legend seats at Yankee Stadium versus sitting in the 400 section. If you want to compare the two things, this is by far the best scene of the movie. And it almost makes sitting through an hour and 40 minutes of fucking garbage worth it. Is this scene that they got Burgess Meredith back for Rocky V? This scene, as the Rock, it's like a flashback scene between Rocky and Mick in black and white here, as Rocky's training for the fight with Apollo Creed, and he bestows Mickey the cufflink with that Rocky Marciano gave Mick to Rocky. He said it's his most beloved possession in the world. And then he tells Rocky, if you ever feel like you're getting up, there's going to be a little angel that's going to whisper in your ear, get up, you son of a bitch, because Mickey loves you. It's just a beautiful scene and a great moment between Rocky and Mickey. And they got Burgess back for this. And it just, like I said, it just almost makes sitting through all the dump, just pure garbage water that this movie is, worth it. So now they're back in the old neighborhood, and Duke starts trying to get to Rocky because he calls Adrian on the phone and she doesn't want anything to have it, and doesn't want anything to do with him. So now Rocky takes the kid to school, tries to teach him some street smarts, which, you know, he was a kid. He wasn't a street kid like Rocky. He grew up with privileges and money. And, you know, quickly we see he gets taken advantage of. He gets beat up a couple of times by Kevin Connolly, you know, more famously known as E from Entourage. And after Rocky takes the kid to school, we meet Tommy Gunn for the first time, who finds him at Mick's gym, wants Rocky to train him. But here comes Duke with the medical report that, you know, of course, he's a shady guy. He gets his hands on a confidential medical report, and he's telling Rocky that he can get him licensed in any state, and it's going to be good to go. and Rocky starts, let's get out of the seeing a way out that, hey, I can't get licensed. This guy says I can get licensed, but now all of a sudden Adrian pops up out of the pet shop and Rocky's pissed because, hey, what are you doing back here? I thought I did all this so we didn't have to do this. But she's back at the pet shop. She wanted to go work there to be close to him. She basically tells Duke to fuck off, get out of here. And, Duke kind of goes after Rocky's manhood a little bit. Tommy's now at we see after Rocky blows Tommy off, Tommy's back at Mick's, and he completely goes overboard in the sparring session. Rocky kind of says, hey, you know what? I'm not a manager. The man that owned this place was a manager, but then you start seeing the gears turn a little bit because Paulie's telling him, hey, Rocky, you see, this is an opportunity here. So Rocky and Paulie at the end of the day are walking to the bar, and there's Tommy Gunn as well. So they get to talking some more, and Tommy kind of butters up Rocky, saying, hey, I've been a fan a long time. Just please give me a shot. If you don't like it, you can throw me out. And Rocky takes him in. And they take him home. They eat spaghetti together, and this is the first sign of a rift between Rocky and his son, because Rocky is now starting to put Tommy Gunn in between his kid and Rocky is starting to put, excuse me, Rocky's starting to put Tommy in between Rocky and the kid. Okay, and then this was a cool shot here. And you remember the opening of the original movie is a shot of Jesus at the church. And then it just zooms into the ring. And then we get that as now Tommy begins his fighting career. We get the shot of Jesus and it zooms into Tommy fighting as Rocky's training him. Tommy starts winning. We get a montage now of the kid starting to learn how to fight. Tommy learning getting on the ropes here. And now learning the ropes here, starting to rack up some wins. And now Duke realizes he's got an angle to get to Rocky here. If he can turn Tommy against Rocky, he can get Rocky in the ring. So the kid beats up E. We'll call him E. I know his name's Chicky in the movie. He beats up E, gets his jacket back. He's excited to go tell his dad. But again, there you see the rift that Tommy is causing between Rocky and his son because the kid's all excited to tell Rocky about what happened. But Tommy's like, hey, Rock, pay attention to me. I'm cooling down over here. And Rocky blows off the kid here. So Tommy continues to win, and now you see Duke starting to pop up at these fights here. He gives him, I don't want to say he gives him, but he basically does give him a woman here, the redhead. And as the montage continues of Tommy winning, you get a nice little funny scene here of Adrienne at the pet shop that she puts a picture of Tommy in the newspaper underneath the birdcage, meaning she hates him. She wants the birds to shit on Tommy's face. So the last fight of the montage against Tim Sims here that Tommy wins, Paulie tells Rocky, the ship is sunk, Rock, because there you see Rocky and Paulie are off kind of talking to the press a little bit, post-fight interview, and it's Duke with Tommy and the redhead, and it's basically gone for Rocky and Tommy. So it's now Christmas, and Rocky wants to give Tommy the cufflink that Mickey gave him, and Adrian's like, it's not something you should be doing. So we see Tommy at a party here. He gives Duke gives Tommy $20,000 to basically come with him because he tells Tommy that he doesn't have a contract with Rocky, and as long as he stays with Rocky, he's not going to be making real money. And he's super into Tommy's head here, and really does turn Tommy on Rocky here, and this is kind of the final breaking point here that he has now fully brainwashed Tommy Gunn. So as we said, it's Christmas. We're back at the old house here, and Uncle Paulie comes down the stairs dressed as Santa, and he goes yo 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 instead of ho ho ho. I love that scene there. I love posting that every Christmas. And he goes yo yo yo, and Rocky goes, hey, I think it's ho ho ho. He goes, what's the freaking difference where I come from? It's yo yo yo. And it's just one of the things that you just love about Burt Young and the way he played Paulie, just that scene right there. So Rocky and Robert get into a huge fight here afterwards because the kid is just not having any of it, and he wants to, his friends are there, he wants to leave, and he tells Rocky that, hey, you know what? You told me to watch out about scams and deceptions, but you're the one that should have watched out about scams and deceptions. So now the kid leaves, and naturally, who shows up but Duke and Tommy? And Duke is just being just a big pain in the ass to everybody. And he leaves, and then because he wants to leave Tommy and Duke, Tommy and Rocky to talk to each other. And this is where Tommy tells Rocky that he's leaving him and going with Duke. And this is how big of an idiot that Tommy Gunn is. It's friggin' Philadelphia on Christmas, and he's driving around in a convertible with the friggin' roof down. Does anybody think it's a pleasant night out? Late December in Philadelphia? It just goes to show what a friggin' moron that Tommy the Machine Gunn is, driving around with the top down on Christmas in fucking Philadelphia. And I've tried not to curse so much in this series, but I dropped three F-bombs already because that's how much this movie pisses me off. Okay? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I might do it some more, but this movie just pisses me off so much that it doesn't have to be this bad. There are elements of a good movie here. And here comes one of them that Tommy speeds off after he basically insinuates that Rocky's too stupid to get him to where he needs to go. And Adrian comes out, and we always talk about the big Adrian pump-up speech, and here it comes here, because Rocky tells Adrian, and I love this line because this brings the franchise kind of full circle here, is that the whole point of the first movie was to prove to everybody that he's not just some bum from the neighborhood, that if he goes the distance with Apollo Creed, that he will prove to everybody that he's not just some bum from the neighborhood. And here we are, 10 years later, where he says to his wife, I didn't take all those beatings in the ring just to be another bum from the neighborhood, because he's right back to where he started. That was powerful. That was, I said I did not like the acting. I did not like the presentation of Rocky Balboa in this movie by Stallone, but this was amazing. This was his best work of the entire film here. And Adrian again with the big pump-up speech, and she tells him, she goes, I know that Tommy made you feel like you're winning, but you're losing us. You're losing your son. That's what you need to worry about. And then he finds Robert at the Atomic Hoagie Shop again, bringing things full circle there with Little Marie in the first movie, and they repair their bond there. Now, because Duke is a shady, how do you call it? Promoter. He's got all the contracts. He finally gets Tommy the title shot. Tommy wins. And you could see Rocky is going absolutely crazy, living and breathing with every punch that Tommy's throwing in this fight. He's excited when Tommy wins. Tommy's like, I got to thank the man that made this all possible. And he thanks Duke. And this crushes Rocky. And Adrian knows it crushes him because she tells Paulie, you know, take him to the bar. Get him out of the house, get him to clear his head a little bit. And that's what happens. The two of them are off to the bar, but before we see them at the bar, we get the press conference, the post-fight press conference, where it's starting to dawn on Tommy a little bit that maybe Duke played him and suckered him in a little bit. But then we get past that, and they're down in the hallway there, and Duke's like, you got to question this man's manhood. You got to get him out, call him a coward, get this man in the ring. So what do they do? Lucky, this was a lucky guess here. He could have been any number of places. Home, mix. Oh, they found him at the bar. First shot. Unless maybe they went to his house, started calling him, nobody showed up. Maybe they went to mix, called him, nobody showed up. But hey, it looks like they got it right on the first time. Where Duke and Tommy. Duke and Tommy are there. They're calling out Rocky. And Rocky's like, you know what? This guy, he's bamboozled you. He's made a fool of you. He don't care about you. He just wants to, he don't care about me neither. He just wants to get us in the ring. And Duke is just, Tommy don't want to hear none of it because now he's fully brainwashed again by Duke, and he wants to get Rocky in the ring. And Paulie tells Tommy that he's a piece of garbage and Rocky should have left him on the street where he found him. He shoves Tommy, and Tommy punches Paulie and knocks bloodies his mouth a little bit. And hey, you know what? Now Rocky's like, hey, my ring's outside. Okay. Now we have the goddamn street fight. I refer to this every single time as I talk about it as the goddamn street fight. Who thought this was a good idea? The climactic fight in what is supposed to be the final fight of Rocky Balboa's career, because this was supposed to be the end of it, is going to happen in a street outside of a bar. Because now, again, we wanted to talk about how stupid Tommy Gunn is for driving around in a convertible on Christmas in Philadelphia. Now it's also in the winter outside here fighting. Just became world heavyweight champion. Instead of listening to reason, for once, Duke actually had something smart to say and say, we don't fight this guy outside. Get him in the ring. He's so dumb. He's like, I'm going to fight this guy in the street. Because what's Rocky got to lose at this point? Duke, Tommy's the heavyweight champion, but he's dumb. He's calling Rocky stupid. He's the literal stupid one here. He's going to fight Rocky in the street. So we get the goddamn street fight, which, again, again, who thought this was a good idea? Somebody must have called this. I don't know how the news found out about it because Robert's watching TV at home, and then the fight's on TV. They go, where are the police in all this? You know they're there because you can see the cop lights in the background. They're just letting this whole friggin' thing go on. We're supposed to be so concerned for Rocky that he can't fight where he can make millions of dollars and get his family out of this situation that he never wanted to be in, that he broke his brain to get his family out of, that now he's taking bare knuckle punches to the head in the fucking street. This is what we're talking about here. No, but he cannot fight. He's too brain damaged to fight with gloves on, where he can make millions of dollars and set his family up for life. But he's out there throwing bare knuckle shots, unprotected shots to his friggin' head in a street. I can't, man. I can't do this. I just watched this movie in November. It's February 14th. Yes, it's Valentine's Day as I'm recording this. I need a year buffer in between every time I watch this movie, not 3 months. So, again, Adrienne's so concerned for him that we see her there. I mean, she can't grab a cop. She can't run. Maybe she doesn't want to run in there herself. I get it. These two guys are swinging off at each other. She can't grab a cop, say, hey, maybe stop this. We don't want him fighting. She doesn't want him fighting for millions, but she doesn't try to stop him from fighting in the street. Naturally, Rocky wins the fight. The cops haul off Tommy. Rocky's just left to do whatever he wants to do. We got these two guys. And again, before we even get to that point, can we talk about the absurdity of how a bus is now driving through this crowd of people? Because you see this bus slow rolling through everybody as Rocky throws the final shot at the fight and knocks him into the bus. So the cops haul off Tommy. But apparently, hey, if you're Rocky Balboa in Philadelphia, you can do whatever you want to do. Fight in the streets. We'll take the guy you were fighting away, but you're free to do whatever you want to do. And you just sat through, with the two exceptions of the scene with Mickey and the scene in the street with Adrian after Tommy leaves, you basically sat through an hour and 30 minutes of just garbage, just utter garbage. And it's made all worth it because Duke is challenging Rocky to hit him. He says to Rocky, "Go ahead, pug. Touch me and I'll sue." And Rocky just satisfaction for everybody that sat through this movie. Just pure satisfaction. He nails Duke with an uppercut, sends him flying onto the hood of the limo. And then you see Father Carmine gives him the blessing, which was a nice little touch there as well. Always love seeing Father Carmine. Didn't love seeing Father Carmine give Tommy a blessing. Another thing. Didn't love seeing Tommy wearing those trunks. Didn't love seeing Father Carmine give Tommy the blessing either. Okay? And then here, if this was meant to be the end, and we'll talk about this in Rocky Balboa, we'll talk about this in Creed 2. If this was meant to be the end, I really do love the way this movie ended. That the ending of this movie was meant to be Rocky and his son running up the stairs, Rocky taking that final run up those Philadelphia Art Museum stairs with his son. They see the statue together, and for the first time since this franchise has started in 15 years, Rocky finally goes into the museum. It was a beautiful moment between father and son. It was a final touching way to end everything. So if that's how it was meant to end, I love it. I really do. So Rocky V ends. We get a little, credits are like a montage of the previous movies. And that is Rocky V there. What is my official ranking on Rocky V? I'm going to give it a 4.75 out of 10. Should it be lower than that? Yeah, probably. Should be closer to probably should be closer to a 4. But I will not give it, I can't in good consciousness give this movie, because it's a Rocky movie, anything lower. And I'm bumping it up because of those two scenes between Mickey and Rocky, between Rocky and Adrian, and the ending. Keeps it like, but I just can't even give it a 5 because of just how utterly bad it is at times. Now, a couple of things to talk about here before we end this podcast is that the original ending of this movie was supposed to be a lot darker than what we had seen. That Sylvester Stallone wanted Rocky to die at the end of this movie, but the studio talked him out of it, and thank God that they did. That he was supposed to go off in an ambulance and die in Adrian's arms was how this movie was supposed to end. It ended a lot better. It really did. There are certain characters that you don't want to see die, and Rocky's one of them. And when we get to Creed 2, I will talk about that in a little bit more detail. That he, we people just they don't want to, we don't want to see Rocky die. This was the right way to end the movie. Let him in and his son have a moment. And it also kept the franchise open. And maybe they were doing it for selfish reasons to keep it open, that they ever wanted to go back there that they could. Whatever the reason was, this was the right move keeping him alive. Also, I forgot to mention this when we talked about Rocky IV last week, that Stallone, as years have gone on, said that he regretted killing Apollo Creed, that if he could do it over again, he'd have him, confined to a wheelchair, maybe, like paralyzed or something. The right call was killing Apollo Creed. It made the quest to avenge Apollo mean more, that Apollo's not here anymore. Apollo's just rolling his ass around in a wheelchair because he got paralyzed. It just doesn't mean the same thing. Rocky's going out to avenge the death of his friend, not his friend that can't walk anymore. It just, and I'm not making light of that situation, what that would have been, or making fun of anybody that's in a situation like that, because it's a terrible situation, obviously. But for the purposes of this movie, of Rocky IV, Apollo needed to die to make Rocky's quest mean that much more. And again, hey, you want to talk about what happened in later years? You can't have the Creed franchise if Apollo Creed is still alive. And yeah, we're getting close to that. We got one more Rocky movie to cover before we get into the Creed franchise. And for those that don't know, we are not covering Creed 3, and I will talk about that in the Creed 2 episode. So we got three more movies to get through. We got Rocky Balboa, Creed, and Creed 2, and then the finale episode where, as I said earlier on, we're going to do a couple of fun things in that one. So I know Stallone, maybe out of friendship or whatever to Carl Weathers or the love of the character of Apollo Creed, didn't want him to die. He needed to. And we'll, and just like in Rocky Balboa, and we'll talk about this in more detail next week, Adrian needed to not be in that movie. That movie works as well as it does because Adrian's not there. If she's there, you know, again, I don't want to, Rocky Balboa is next week, but I'm just saying. So, wrong decision to kill Rocky in Rocky 5, which thank God he didn't. Right decision to kill Apollo Creed in Rocky 4. Right decision that Adrian passed on in between Rocky 5 and Rocky Balboa. Okay? Also here, as putrid as this movie is at times, as awful as this movie is at times, I am so happy that this movie is as bad as it is. Because it gave Sylvester Stallone the itch for 16 years to make it right. He had, and it took a long time to get it right. It took a long time for the studios to be on board with wanting to make another Rocky movie. But if Rocky Balboa, I mean, excuse me, if Rocky V is a good movie, is an okay movie, we don't get Rocky Balboa. So every time I sit through an hour and 40 minutes of just hot garbage water that Rocky V is, at the end of it, when those credits roll, I say, thank you, Lord, that this movie sucked. Because my all-time favorite movie, and nothing, there can be nothing that will ever top Rocky Balboa as terms of being my favorite movie of all time. Because if this movie, Rocky V, wasn't so friggin' terrible, we would not have gotten Rocky Balboa. Rocky V being as bad as it was made Sylvester Stallone want to end the series, the franchise, the character, give them a better, give it all a better ending. So every time I watch this movie, I'm thankful that it sucked. Because did I love Rocky up until 2005? Yeah, I did. Rocky IV was, again, Rocky IV would have always been my favorite movie, or damn near the top of it. But then things changed, and my fandom went to another level with Rocky Balboa, and that's for next week. One last thing here is that normally I, this past year was my fourth year doing the Rocky run. I covered a lot of that in the prologue episode. Go back in the archives on this podcast platform and listen to it if you've missed it. And since I've come back, since I've started doing the run, when I come back from Philly that day, you know, later on in that day is when I start my Rocky rewatch for the year. But this past year, because of the 40th anniversary of Rocky IV, they released the director's cut in theaters before the run. I think it was the Thursday before the run or the Wednesday before, whatever it was. So I had to watch 1, 2, and 3, and 4 before I went down to Philadelphia, which means the night of the run, that Friday night, I'm sitting in bed in my hotel room with nothing to do, with an iPad with some movies downloaded on it, watching Rocky V. And yes, the thought went through my head that I am here 8 hours before I'm supposed to go run the Rocky run, watching the biggest dog shit movie in this franchise. I actually thought it would make me run worse, have me perform badly in the run. But it was my second best time in the Rocky run in the 4 years that I've done it. So I don't know, maybe it's good luck. Or maybe I train really hard this year. I don't know. But yeah, that thought went through my mind. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Like, at least I could see watching any of the other movies in this franchise and going to bed energized and pumped up and ready to go. This movie does none of that for you. Rocky Five, like, look at, yeah, there's so many things about the first four movies and then Rocky Balboa where you can draw inspiration from and feel excited and pumped up, especially when you're going to a sporting event like that and one that's centered around Rocky. Rocky Five makes you want to run into oncoming traffic, not run for a PR, which I was seconds away from, man. I was so happy with my performance this year. But yeah, guys, that's Rocky Five. Just, and somebody said this to me. I see this take on social media a lot, that you skip Rocky Five when you do the rewatch. No. You're not a real fan. You're not a real fan if you skip Rocky Five. You don't get the good without the bad. You don't get to enjoy all the awesomeness and all the inspiration and all the greatness if you can't stomach one bad movie. That's not even all the way bad. I gave you three redeeming scenes in it. There are remnants of a good movie here. The storyline, if it was written and fleshed out better, is good enough. The acting needed to take a whole different step here. You needed to hire better people than you did. You needed to cast better people than you did in this movie. The acting, if the acting was better, this movie's like a five. I would probably give this movie an almost another full point and say it's probably a 5.5. The acting is so bad, which drags this movie down more than anything. If you had somebody else playing and didn't do this dollar store Don King ripoff with Richard Gant as George Washington Duke, you could forgive the friggin' goddamn street fight. If you had somebody with a little bit more charisma than Tommy Morrison, may he rest in peace, play the one of the main antagonists here, you could forgive the goddamn street fight. If Sylvester Stallone would have played Rocky instead, more closer to how he did in the first four films, and not more like a bad impersonator, which, yes, I hate saying it, but that's how it felt at times, you could forgive the goddamn street fight. But when you take all that and you have the goddamn street fight ending this movie, I can't go any higher than a 4.75 out of 10. That's my max. And that's me probably being generous. But when you're doing a full rewatch, you cannot skip Rocky Five and then come out on social media or come to me, of all people, and tell me that you're a fan of Rocky. Sit through it, deal with it like the rest of us. Now that we got through Rocky Five, I was dreading doing this. Not dreading doing the podcast. I had fun talking about it, but dreading sitting through this movie again after I just watched it 3 months ago. Now, next week, we get to do something that I absolutely love. My favorite movie of all time, Rocky Balboa. I'm so excited to talk about it and watch it again and share my thoughts with you guys. So if you don't want to miss that episode, please hit subscribe on the very podcast platform that you're listening to me on right now. You won't miss any new episodes of The Thrill of the Fight. And if you're a Yankee fan, you won't miss any new episodes of the NYYST podcast, as the Yankees are in camp now and baseball season is right around the corner. Please subscribe to, like I said, to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you're not missing any of the new shows that I'm doing. And please subscribe, Jesus. It please, maybe I got a little brain damage here. Please follow me on X at Christian underscore NYYST. And please follow me on TikTok as well at Christian.NYYST. I love you guys so much. Thank you for all your continued support of everything we're doing, not only here on The Thrill of the Fight, but with the NYYST podcast as well. Thank you guys for listening to episode 6 of The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky. I love you, and I'll see you next time.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.